The word of God that I would lay upon your hearts this morning comes from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. You may be seated. Give you Christian greetings from your Christian brothers and sisters in St. John's, Okabena, Minnesota. Grace and peace be to you, God, our Father and Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In June of 2008, my wife and I were waiting in the Minneapolis airport to take a plane on a vacation trip down to Orlando. I noticed a lonely old gentleman walking up to the gate. His clothes seemed to completely swallow him, as he was very small and thin. But the thing that caused me to notice him wasn't his age or his clothing, but it was his condition. He had an uncontrollable shaking of the limbs. I watched as he struggled with the ordinary task of taking his boarding pass out of his pocket. My heart ached for him as he proceeded to sit down across from me and continued to fumble around with his boarding pass, simply trying to look at the time which his flight was about to leave. And then something occurred to me. The same compassion I felt towards this elderly gentleman, we Christians should also have towards those who do not yet know Christ. But the sad and shameful truth is we often do not. Our text for this morning, Romans chapter 9, encourages each of us to look to the lost with compassion, remembering God's grace in our own lives, and for the opportunity to preach Christ to others. I'm going to read to you again a few passages from our Old Testament lesson this morning. John chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. A whole city was converted to Christianity. A whole city was saved. Now let me read to you Jonah's response. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. And in his prayer to the Lord, he said this: Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. It can be very easy for us to point the finger at Jonah and say, what a horrible attitude to have as a Christian. But if we look into the mirror of God's law, very likely, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll see a Jonah looking back at us. Imagine for a moment that God were to come and speak directly to you. And he were to tell you, I have an assignment for you personally. This assignment would require you to drop everything that you were doing with your job and your family. You would then be required to travel out to California and preach God's word specifically to the homosexual community living out there. What's your initial reaction? Is it, yes, Lord, please, send me, send me? Or is it perhaps he'll never believe? Or perhaps they've already abandoned God. There are many other examples like this to consider. Think about the coworker who pokes fun at your face for not believing in evolution. Think about classmate, you're in high school, college. A classmate proud of her freedom of choice who has had numerous abortions. Think about the relative or friend who speaks openly to you about living with their significant other outside of marriage. Think about an individual who goes into a movie theater and shoots 80 people. What's your initial reaction? You know, it is good when we recognize these things to be sin, when we recognize these things to be a perversion of God's will. In fact, it's good that we dislike these things, these sins. But God says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. But it still remains that each of those situations I described for you, each of those individuals, desperately need to hear about their Savior. They're on the wide road to hell if they don't hear and turn and believe. And it becomes a sin on our part, as it did for Jonah, if we let these sins disgust us so much that we don't reach out to that person with God's word. We need to be aware that we ourselves are sinful humans, just like Jonah. We are not exempt from the same temptation he faced. You can be guaranteed that Satan knows exactly the right buttons to push for each one of us. So where do we go for help? We go where we always go, God's Word. Get our text again this morning in your bulletin. I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow, continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh were Israelites. What a stark contrast we have here from the words we just heard from Jonah in our Old Testament lesson. Jonah would rather have died than seen the Ninevites brought to faith in repentance. Paul would not only rather die, but be condemned to hell in order to see his fellow Jews saved. Now it's important for us when we read this text to understand exactly who the Apostle Paul is referring to. When you hear Paul's words here, don't think of the father praying over his child, his terminally ill child, or a husband praying over his terminally ill wife, begging God, take me instead. These people that the Apostle Paul are talking about were the same ones who rejected him, who ridiculed him, who whipped him, beat him, tried to kill him. So how was Paul able to show such compassion for these Jews? One word. Grace. Paul remembered that it wasn't that long ago that he was Saul, holding the coats of his fellow Jews as he watched Stephen being stoned to death. Paul remembered that it was not that long ago that he too was chaining up Christians and sending them off to prison or to their execution. Paul remembered that even as a believer, he was still just as sinful as they were. Yes, Paul remembered that the only thing separating him from those unbelieving Jews was God's grace. What about you and me? You know, when you really think about it, we have somewhat of a paradox here before us. For on the one hand, the Lord tells us that the world is our enemy. We are to avoid the ways of the world, not fall prey to their temptation. But at the same time, on the other hand, He also sends us into the world and says, make disciples of all the nations. We are being sent into enemy territory, the very enemy that hates us and wants to destroy us. And yet we are expected to look on them with compassion. The homosexual. The murderer. Yes. Compassion. But we confess that we often do not. Oftentimes our sinful flesh gets the better of us. And we think like Jonah that these sinners should get what they have coming. They should get what they deserve. You know what? That's the point. We too should get what we deserve. Our sins, our impure thoughts, filthy words, improper actions, they also deserve punishment. Thankfully, we have a gracious Savior, one who looked on us with compassion. For God tells us in His Word that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's actually a very good definition of grace. When we deserved hell, Christ took it in our place. He went into a world full of His enemies and died for each and every one of them that they might live forever with Him in heaven. When we look to the lost and the unbelieving world around us, let us learn from Paul, from our Savior. And remember,
God's grace in our own lives.
Let us recognize that were it not for God's grace, we very likely would be just like that unbelieving co-worker who ridicules us for our faith in creation rather than evolution. Let us recognize that our hearts are just as sinful as the teen who commits abortion, or as an individual who shoots up a movie theater. The only thing separating us from the unbelieving world around us is God's grace. The only reason why we are on the other side of the conversation when we're speaking with an unbeliever, the only reason why we're on the other side of that conversation is God's grace. His undeserved love that reached down and rescued us and worked faith in our hearts to believe in Jesus as the only Savior from sin, death, and hell. And it's when the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to remind us of this, His grace in our own lives, that the love of Christ compels us to look to the lost with compassion. And consequently, to look to the lost for the opportunity to preach Christ, for that is their only hope. At this point, I would like to draw your attention to some pretty important words in our text this morning. You can follow along in the bulletin with me. These are words that upon first reading, we might very easily just glance right over. But they are very carefully and deliberately chosen by the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit for our learning. So they are worth our close study. I'm reading at the beginning of verse 3. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. The words that I want you to pay close attention to are the words could wish. You may even want to go home and underline those two words in your Bible. Paul says, I could wish that I were accursed from Christ for my brethren. What does he mean when he says could wish? Well, let's look at that for a moment. What could Paul accomplish if he were indeed able to curse himself from Christ forever? Even under the best intentions, what benefit could this provide for the unbelieving Jews? If you say none, you would be right. For a sinner's sacrifice can never redeem another sinner. See, that's why Christ had to be sinless. We can't die for ourselves. We certainly can't die for someone else. Paul specifically and carefully, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, used these words as a way of showing his deep, heartfelt compassion for his unbelieving fellow Jews, while at the same time clearly illustrating that there is only one way to heaven: Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through him. And this is why it's quite appropriate that Paul ends this section with a doxology praising Christ as God. According to the flesh, Christ came in verse 5, who is over all the eternally blessed God. The Apostle Paul gives us a very good example in our text of making mission work personal, while at the same time keeping Christ at the focal point. In our preaching classes at Emmanuel Seminary, we are taught to preach Christ and not ourselves. In other words, when we stand up in the pulpit, we are taught to preach and to think and preach in a way that will not garner us credit for being such great preachers, but rather in a way that gives all the glory to God, puts the focal point on Christ, puts the cross in the front of their listeners. We're not in the business of pointing out what great preachers we are, but rather pointing out what a great Savior Jesus is. And so it is here with the Apostle Paul in our text. And so it should be also with all of us in our everyday conversations with the individuals that we know need to hear about their Savior. Our purpose in preaching to the lost is not to prove ourselves wrong, ourselves right and the other person wrong. It is not our purpose in preaching to Christ to seek to bolster the members of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church. It is not our purpose to seek to bolster, to increase the members of the CLC, our synod. Rather, in preaching to the lost, we want the same thing that the Apostle Paul wanted for his fellow Jews: the salvation of souls. We want the unbeliever that we're talking to have the same thing we have: peace in Christ. We want them to know what we know, that there is truth in this world and that God's word is truth. We want to increase the number of those who will stand with us on the last day and eternally praise our Savior face to face in the mansions of heaven for eternity. Let's look to the lost with compassion for the opportunity to preach that which Paul points to in the last portion of our text when he writes that according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. This Christ Paul is speaking of came for a purpose. This Christ lived perfectly for fallen man. This Christ died for the ungodly. This Christ reconciled a world of enemies with his Father. This Christ shattered the power of death when he burst forth from his tomb. This Christ that Paul is speaking of is Jesus Christ, who loves you and did all this for you. He knew you before you were even born. He knows every single hair on your head. He knows you by your very own name. You're not a number to him. And he wants you to be forever with him in heaven. There is none other like Jesus. And this is the most beautiful thing that has ever been said on the face of this earth. And this is what we want to share with the lost. May the Holy Spirit grant us Christ-like eyes to look to the lost with compassion. May He remind us of God's grace in our own lives. May He bless us to see the condition of the lost, to see that their souls are dying. May we look to the lost for the opportunity to preach the soul-saving message of Christ crucified for sinners. I'd like to end with a question today. You should take this question home. Think about it. Talk about it with your family. If I have been converted, if I have been saved, why am I still here? Amen. All that I was, my sin, my guilt, my death, was all my own. All that I am, I owe to Thee, my gracious God alone. Thy word first made me feel my sin. It taught me to believe. Then in believing, peace I found. And now I live, I live. Now may I spread Thy word of grace to unbelieving ears, so that they too are brought to faith and live for endless years. Amen.